The North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net, will not be heard at this time, so we can bring you a CLW 83 Network special presentation. From Internet City in Hollywood, it's the game that knows when to draw the line. Is this offensive? And now, here is your host, Jim Williams. Hey, hey, oh yes. Oh yes, I love that applause. Thank you ever so much. Thank you, Johnny. And welcome to Is This Offensive? It's really a simple game, boys and girls. We're going to play a clip for you of a quoted quotable from recent WWE television programming, and it's up to you to determine if the clip is indeed offensive. Let's start with clip number one. It features AEW from All World Promotions being at ringside during a recent match. I ask you, is this offensive?
Did you see that?
If you said yes, this is offensive, you're absolutely right! Yes, rape jokes are just not funny, even if it's a 9-year-old rape joke. On to clip number two. This one takes us to the commentary table with Michael Cole and Jerry the King Lawler during a Tensai match. Is this offensive?
Sakamoto, the worshiper of Tensai, looks on.
Sakamoto. When Tensai was beating him up, he changed his name to Sun King Wong.
Sakamoto, Sakatomato.
What?
If you said, yes, this is offensive, you're wrong. Apparently, in the world of the WWE, ethnic slurs are not just permitted, they're allowed to be broadcast by broadcasters. And now we get to our bonus clip. This is for all the bragging rights, and it features Vince McMahon backstage. For all the bragging rights, I ask you, is this offensive?
How about something like this?
Stone Cold! Stone Cold! Stone Cold!
Touch your whiskers.
Yeah.
If you said yes, this is the most offensive thing I've ever heard in my life, yes, this is offensive, you're apparently wrong. Yes, in the world of the WWE, Vince McMahon often ridicules, mocks, and puts Jim Ross into horrible positions on a seemingly daily basis. So this is nothing new. Matter of fact, this is tame. Remember, the guy got set on fire before. Hey, I don't make the rules up, I just report them. By the way, for your edification, we were going to include Tensai's tout involving ethnic jokes about the Japanese, but apparently the WWE has played revisionist history a la communist China, and we were unable to include that clip. But if we do find it, we will bring it to you on a future episode of Is This Offensive? Thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Jim Williams reminding you to always know when to draw the line. So long for now.
And to that wonderful intro, we already have rebuttal.
How can you be so insensitive?
But we will be talking about those and other offensive things in the wonderful world of wrestling, as known as the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I have some of the least offensive individuals here on my show, only because I wish to foster international relations. Starting all the way on the other side of the planet with Mr. Shane Beeman, where were you last week?
Oh my God, woman, you're never going to let this go. I do apologize that I was not here last week. I have had some personal stuff that I've had to go through, but getting all nice and well now. But definitely am sorry that I missed it, but Brian Henninger definitely sorted that out by chasing me with a folding chair, which was not very nice.
I'll speak to him about that. There's somebody else he needs to be chasing tonight. To the next part of the planet, I'll go over to Canada, and Miss Trista Timpson, who can't offend anyone.
Really? That's funny.
It was worth a try. And now the man I can always offend, our current recorder, but our fourth for tonight, Mr. Jim Williams.
You know, I couldn't get the new hosting gig for GSN's version of the Pyramid, so I stole the music and decided to do Is This Offensive. I think Dick Clark is rolling in his grave as I speak.
Probably rolling in laughter, because he probably enjoyed each and every one of those very non-PC jokes.
Yes.
But one truth that does come out of this intro is the fact that the only one of these that was publicly apologized for was AW's statement. And to that, I'm going to ask, Trista, do you think AW should be punished?
Well, I know when I first heard it, I was more offended of how old the joke was. Joke in air quotes. I'm doing them. You can't see it, but it's happening because it was 9 years ago. And then it also brought up the topic, is it touchy, because he had mentioned Colorado and with everything that has happened in Colorado most recently. Yes, they should have apologized for it. Rape isn't a funny matter. It's obviously a very serious issue that occurs way more often than it ever should be. And yes, it should be apologized for. I was offended at how old it was. That's all I got.
And Jim, you made a point on the intro regarding Lawler and Cole making some very interesting jokes, although admittedly, I hate to say it, folks, I laughed at something wrong.
I think what it comes down to is this. This is a kind of joke that would have been fine not even 10 years ago, back when they were pushing the envelope with the envelope era? No, the Attitude Era, where they're trying to be PG and everything a little bit more wholesome, for lack of better terms. I don't want to really say wholesome, but something gearing towards that nature. They have to mind their P's and Q's, because Big Brother's watching. TMZ's right on your back door, brother. I mean, you know, this is what happens sometimes when you give people a live mic and they don't know what to do with it in AW's case. Lawler should have known better, and Cole really didn't help. Gee, what a surprise.
As for the tout, now, I've seen a transcript of it, and I think even 10 years ago, this wouldn't have flown even 10 years ago. Trista, did you catch the tout before WWE yanked it?
No, I haven't even heard about this. This is all new to me.
Well, I saw it before it got pulled, not just from there, but from all of the interwebs. I said it in the clip in jest, but it's true. WWE trying to get all traces of it knocked off the internet. Pretty much, riding shotgun was Tensai talking about how, you know, it's never a good idea to be riding in a car with a Japanese driver. Open your eyes, he said, looking over at Sakamoto.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a bit much. Like I said, even 10 years ago, I don't think that would have flown.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, it's one thing to say that Sakamoto is a bad driver and then just kind of maybe assume the stereotype that Asians can't drive. Again, stereotype, I'm not personally saying it, but for him to actually say, like, open your eyes, that's just...
So,
it's a little
so
shocking.
is this the real reason why Sakamoto is getting smacked around by Tensai? I'm just saying.
Nah.
I mean, because he's a bad driver?
No, well, what's interesting is it plays to Tensai's character, but in the PG era, you really can't say something like that. If Tensai wanted to go ahead and just make fun of Sakamoto's driving just because he thinks Sakamoto is just a incompetent servant, or is that still racist?
Judges? I'm not sure.
I think people got over the servant thing a long time ago. So
the Russian judge says no, but the Russian judge is completely off their, you know, they bought the vodka. Oh, that's not right.
Stereotyping.
Yes, stereotypes are fun. No, they're not. But and you notice how quickly it was yanked. Within 48 hours, it was yanked down. Gee, I wonder why. The bad publicity, not just for the WWE, but oh, maybe more ammunition for Linda's opposition?
It could happen, and WWE has said that they will be reprimanding Tensai regarding the comment, although they can't really bury him any harder than they have.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen, you know, when's the last time he won a match?
Well, he did win a match Monday.
Well, he did win the match only to have it reversed, but, you know.
And aren't they going to Japan in like a week or two?
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be fun. Oh,
that's some free heat for him.
Yes.
Hmm. But it's just, you know, this is a minor black eye to WWE, and in fact, mainly because it went out into the major media outlets, which WWE likes, but not this way.
Damn it, not this way.
I'm not as good at it as Cole is, but
damn it, not this way.
Jim, you saw it on PTI, didn't you?
I saw it on PTI. I saw it mentioned on TMZ Live. In fact, they have it archived on TMZ Live. They spent a good 5 minutes talking about wrestling.
Yeah, it was on their show, too, this week on Tuesday.
Yeah, and they had a little field day with it, talking about what...
During, like, their half-hour show.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, good Lord.
Complete with horrible voice alert! Yeah.
Well... And you know, that nonsense was just another piece of a bad night for WWE, as Raw almost didn't make it to air. Mm-hmm. As shortly before the doors opened, there was either a pyro test or a pyro malfunction. I never got the full story on that.
I believe it was they were doing the standard pre-show testing of the pyros, and something malfunctioned on the side of the Tron, where they have the I don't know what the proper term for them are, the LEDs, I guess they would be.
Mm-hmm.
On the side, which are, you know, just decorative pretty much, although they do flash certain things when certain wrestlers come out. One of the pyros hit one of the LED displays and lit it ablaze, to which Chris Jericho touted like a doofus about the matter.
Well, he had every right, because it wasn't serious, but it was enough to set off the fire alarms in the arena and essentially keep the doors closed a little bit longer. Thus, the commentary and the half a dozen replays of the incident.
If you're just tuning us, we were on fire before the show happened tonight. Here's the 85th time to take a look at it.
Good Lord, that's really
annoying. I'm sorry, but Zack Ryder completely lampooned that on Z True Long Island Story. It was awesome.
What did he do?
Well, he showed the concept of re-showing the same thing a bunch of times during 3 hours, though. He showed the Big O trying to pump his legs. He's like, it comes back about a minute later. Earlier in the show, we were seeing the Big O pump his legs. Let's take a look at that one more time.
Oh, wow.
Then they cut to it about a minute and a half later. Remember the Big O pumped his legs? Let's take another look at that. Then Chiapetta comes in. Zach, why are you doing this? Hey, if Raw can do it, why can't I?
But he's got a point. And the fact that there were... somebody on the fan boards actually counted that there were 16... recaps on the show, and that's just, you know, that's multiples of the fire, the Triple H Brock Lesnar package,
Punk opener,
Punk's rant to Lawler, which people are jumping, oh my god, he's a heel. Not yet.
Tristan,
I was gonna say, Trista, you with me on this?
I don't believe he's a full-blown heel, because I find it hard to boo a bad guy when he makes good points, as Punk did Monday night. Mm-hmm.
And my second point on that, Shane, since he's not a full heel yet, a heel would have kicked Lawler in the face for insulting him.
Oh, indeed. If he was a full-fledged heel, we would have seen exactly what Austin did to Jim Ross back in the early 2000s, kicking the absolute crap out of Jim Ross. But did we see that? No. We just saw Punk doing his traditional Indian sitting position and going, well, I'm very disappointed in you, Jerry. I really am.
But let's be honest. If Punk were to kick Lawler in the face, would you boo him?
I would, because I'm probably one of the last five people on the planet who doesn't mind his commentary, only because Cole is so much worse.
It's the lesser of two evils.
Yes, it's comparing the less smelly pile of poop to the more smelly pile of poop. Matt Stryker, get on the table now.
Scott Stanford, follow him.
Indeed.
Wait a minute, that's backwards, Jim. I thought you were the Stanfordite.
Well, I am. I mean, I'm all about my broski on NBC4 in New York, but come on, I'm down with Stryker, too.
Okay.
He's one of us. He's a mark.
And he's allowed to be a mark, and it's, you know, and that's what made his commentary so much fun.
It's a mark-out moment! A mark-out, bro!
Well said. Thank you.
Well, between his love of the business and his, for lack of a better term, Dennis Miller-style commentary.
Yes.
Because he throws six different types of references into his commentary, and I loved every minute of
it. He's too hip for the room. That's the problem, according to the big people in Stanford.
Actually, the big people in Stanford also should be scratching their heads, because the one thing the man needs is about another 6 months worth of wrestling history study, because he did get a lot of stuff wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's the real reason they took him off the table. But that is neither here nor there. I would just like him at the table because he'd also be a very nice view.
Oh, my goodness.
He looks pretty good in a suit. I'll back you up. Maybe.
You love those vest suits, don't you?
No, it's just a suit. Like any guy in a suit, right, Nicky?
Where's my suit?
Where is
it?
Any guy in a suit.
Where's my suit?
It's gonna look great. Yeah.
Not this one.
No, well, let's see. A Stryker in a suit. Give me a second here. I might have something for you, Trista.
I'm like a WrestleMania, possibly.
Alrighty.
Well, no, I'm talking about I've had the pleasure of meeting Matt a couple of times, and the first time I actually met him, he was in a suit.
Oh, jealous.
Well, the fun part was that this was right after WrestleMania 23.
Okay, a couple of years ago.
And I made a comment about the fact that they lost to the Originals.
Right.
Yes, ECW.
And I was trying to rub it in his face, but the answer he gave me was so eloquent and so humble, I said, come here, I have to take a picture with you now.
he's good peeps, then. Come on.
He is. And when I ran into him in Columbus a couple of years later, I had recalled that, and he was on commentary at the time, he mentioned that he was a wrestling nerd. He admitted it. I said, okay, what other nerd do you speak? And he says, I'm a music nerd, I'm a video game nerd, I'm a sports nerd. He listed like six or seven nerd disciplines. Oh. And I said, are you a gaming nerd, sir? And he said, what do you mean? I said, 3.0 or 3.5.
Oh, no.
Without missing a beat, he said 3.0. For those of you scoring at home, this is referring to versions of Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay.
To which the both of us made everybody else around there look at us like we had two heads.
You then asked for his phone number. No, I'm kidding.
No, we just out-nerded the room. It was awesome. Anyway.
By the way, Stryker is now on Twitter.
He finally got a Twitter?
He finally got a Twitter. He only has 120 tweets, but he has almost 9,400 followers.
I will add him to my list.
@Matt_Stryker_.
I think we're getting off topic here.
Anyway.
Who asked you?
So let's see. Now, despite 16 recaps.
Yes.
People would like to, I'm sure some people were moaning what they perceived as a lack of wrestling on the show. Mm-hmm. Percentage-wise, the 3-hour Raw had more wrestling than the standard 2-hour Raw.
Good thing.
I'm going strictly on percentages. Oh, duh, you got a 3-hour show, you got more time to put on wrestling matches. No. A typical 2-hour Raw would have 20 to 30 minutes of wrestling. So about a quarter of the show.
Mm-hmm.
The total runtime, thank you, Mikey, for this Monday's Raw was very close to an hour. So almost a full third of the show was wrestling.
Okay, I'm doing my fractions here, and 1/3. It is bigger. How about that?
Yay. Though, admittedly, some of the stuff, since a lot of the stuff we're going to be talking, that we've talked about from Raw wasn't about the wrestling, although I do want to talk about one match where, Trista, you and I got to see some vitamin C.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
I was so happy to see those two back together.
Even if they're
face right now, it's good. It's a good thing.
You take what you can get, right?
Exactly. Then again, I like Jericho better as a face, and I'm just glad Christian's back and not being a whiny baby.
Yet.
Shh. Let's see. Daniel Bryan blew everybody away with his breakdown, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. He was dragged off for psychiatric evaluation. I have the identities of the nice young men in the clean white coats that came to drag Daniel Bryan away. Ha ha.
Uh-huh.
Two of them are FCW developmental talents, Chad Baxter and Colin Cassidy. Mm-hmm. The other two are OVW talents, Jason Wayne and Yamin Olivencia. Olivencia, I've actually seen work in OVW. He's quite good. They drag him off for his evaluation, and Trista, bonus points for the way the Rorschach test ended.
With the goat face?
Yeah.
Yes, I noticed it because, okay, so I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's just going to be that test. But by the second one, I'm like, that looks a lot like the first one. And then they did the third one, and I'm like, this is going to lead to something. And then I picked up on the goat face, and I felt really proud of myself because sometimes I can be kind of slow on those kind of things. But the downside was I wasn't watching Raw with anyone, so I wasn't able to brag about it until now. But hey, it was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane, some extra awesome when they decided to sign Kane on as his anger management counselor.
Winning.
Oh, that was just absolutely brilliant. Like, I know I'm the first one here that normally complains when we see Kane going back towards the comedy angle. It's like, don't freaking do it! But that was just well brilliantly played out.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, you mentioned winning. Are you enjoying Brian's paranoia that Charlie Sheen could be anywhere?
Yeah, actually, I am. I think it's hilarious. Hilarious, I tell you. No, I think it obviously leads to something interesting when we get to Summerfest. SummerSlam.
Doofus.
Shut up. Old habits die hard. No, but... No, it definitely leads to something when we get to SummerSlam, and I don't doubt we're going to see the two maybe not fight, but have a little altercation at some point. Maybe Charlie Sheen will buy himself a ringside seat with all the money he's got from FX, and we'll see what happens.
So, speaking of big personalities... This video should have been aired somewhere on Raw, although it probably would have caused a few people to go running for the concession stand, and they would have missed out.
Oh?
I speak specifically of my idol, Damian Sandow, who got to spend some time at Comic-Con making fun of all the cosplayers.
That's funny.
Now, I have seen this video, and...
I approve the message.
The video is amazing. Trista, I hope you've watched this.
I haven't.
Oh my goodness, you must see this,
but
especially...
I've seen some of it through GIFs forms.
Okay. One of the GIFs that they should have somewhere is Sandow interacting with a woman dressed as Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty.
Sure.
Why not?
And unfortunately, the interaction was that interaction was gold. He essentially made fun of a lot of the cosplayers and turned his nose up at all of this. And he knew his con, though, because he was like, I'm walking around smelling nothing but extra greasy cheeseburgers. Greasy cheeseburgers, bad makeup and sweat, or something that ridiculous. He was just and discovered the truth that cosplayers at cons have no self-esteem, that's why they dress up. He's half right. But no, it's deep fried gold. Okay. Find it, watch it twice.
I will. And then I'll tell you about it.
Absolutely. We've got little bits building up with SummerSlam. Del Rio tried to put his boot down and say that he is not going to wrestle until SummerSlam, to which some of the fan base was quite happy to hear that.
Oh! No, you didn't.
And, yeah, I did. That changed on SmackDown, but I'll get to that in a moment. Our dear AJ was not done just messing with Brian's mind. She decided to mess with Punk's mind at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Trista, does Punk show Cena give you an itch to buy SummerSlam?
Not in the least bit. No, it does not. And neither does Brock and Triple H and probably any other match they're going to announce this year, which is sad. Because sometimes I look forward to SummerSlam, but that's just not one of these years this year.
Shane, I'm sorry. No, please.
Sorry to cut you off.
I'm the one who cut you off.
I saw this picture, and it was the past three SummerSlams, and it was Punk and Big Show at 2010, and then it was Punk and Cena last year in 2011, and then this year it's Punk, Big Show, and Cena. So it's just kind of like, I've seen this match before in some sort of shape or form, so...
Mm-hmm.
Jim, any buys?
I don't know. I really don't know, to be honest. I mean, you mean the triple threat? The reason I'm not sure is because I hear something off in the distance again, Nikki.
Uh-oh.
And it sounds like somebody who's faster than a speeding bullet... More powerful than Mark Henry when he's really angry in a sexual chocolate fit of rage. Yeah, I'm hearing Super Cena's theme. That's the problem.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's like, spoiler, Cena wins. Yes.
That would worry me too. Shane, are you picking up that vibe?
I'll have to disagree with Jim there. Like,
please do.
I don't know. With WWE's been screwing with my mind recently with friggin' Cena. Like, I don't know what they're doing with him. First, like, we have the Super Cena thing, and then he's losing to Rock, and friggin'... who else did he lose to after that? He lost to... heaps of Tensai and other people. And I'm like, okay, this is just a bit awkward. But, no, I actually think Punk will retain at SummerSlam, but... I agree with Trista that I'm not sure that I want to buy SummerSlam because, like she said, like we've already seen Punk Big Show and Cena Punk. It's like you'd have to do something really special to surprise me with that match. But I don't know, I might watch it for Triple H Brock because that looks like it could be a good match, maybe.
Agreed. That looks like it's going to be an absolute barn burner.
And I have a vested interest in that match, so I have every intention of watching it.
Shocker.
Stop
that.
But then again, we also have the possibility, from what I've been seeing from Raw and previous SmackDowns and everything else, of a SummerSlam match between Chris Jericho and Dolph Ziggler, which I would definitely watch.
Oh, yes.
I think you just got Trista's attention.
Yeah, I'd be all over that match if you know, it wasn't going to cost me like $50 to see it.
Figuratively or literally?
Literally.
Yeah, it's just not.
Because that would probably be the only match I'm interested in.
No, that's not right.
No, it's correct.
Yeah, well, yeah. No. And of course, I have no room to talk. I'm the one complaining that, you know, AJ didn't wear her Converses with her business suit, so.
Oh, that would have looked so cute.
Yes, it would have. I know. It would have matched black with the black. I mean, the running gag on some of the boards was that, look, AJ decided to go to Stephanie's closet and put it on extreme dry and shrink it and put it on herself. So.
She didn't look bad in it.
I'm not complaining. No, I'm not complaining. Shucky ducky quack quack indeed. Just saying. Keep with the character, at least. That's, you know.
Hark, I think I just heard a segue.
Oh. I did.
I had the exact same thing.
And I don't even know what I did.
Oh, let's just say we did need to bounce over to SmackDown.
Aha, I know what I did now, yes.
As the show opened with a sadly text-spoiled announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who gets texts from WWE, they sent a breaking news thing on Wednesday or Thursday that it's a strong possibility that the SmackDown GM will be Booker T.
Oh my goodness.
And so, ta-da! Booker T is now away from the announce table.
God darn it, now I have to throw away my Booker T bingo card.
And Michael Cole's sucking up to him.
Of course.
Which pisses me off.
Yep.
Oh, I wouldn't necessarily say he sucked up to him. If you listen to it in like full detail, it sounded like he started sucking up to him. He's like, "Oh, thank God, my prayers have been answered. Booker T's off commentary." I'm like, oh.
Well, there were. That I was okay. I was actually okay with that. I was not okay with later on when he started saying, "Oh yeah, I had a great time working with him at the announce table." And I'm like, Cole, Booker wanted to punch your lights out more than I wanted to.
I don't think anyone wanted to punch Michael Cole's lights out more than Jim Ross, but Jim Ross is too much of a gentleman to friggin' want to smack him out.
No,
Oh, wait. Barbecue sauce, anyone?
Sauce it!
Yeah. I was thinking also of the hat-swinging incident from Old School Raw.
Yeah, it was fun.
So, let me ask you this, Shane. Booker T in charge of SmackDown. Do you dig it?
Oh, it was excellent. I loved Booker T's first night as a GM. It was very entertaining. Especially loved the Eve Torres segment where she comes and tries to suck up to him, and then he's like, "No, we're gonna do some black power here. Me and my boy Teddy. Teddy's my VP and all that." I'm all like, "Yes, I love it." Just another slap in the face to Eve Torres.
Trista, are you on board with this?
Yeah, I don't watch SmackDown, so I'm all for it.
Well said.
Jim, save me.
Well, let me just tell you right now, I'm all about this move. I got to say, that move's in my fave five, y'all. Oh my goodness.
You just filled half of your bingo card. On purpose.
That's number one.
Cheater.
Yes.
Cheater.
I'm not a cheater.
No, actually.
I just use things that I have to my benefit.
But yeah, no, I'm actually liking this. I mean, we've got a face, former wrestler, who is not going to take any crap, as evidenced by the Cody Rhodes interaction.
Oh, yes.
You know, I didn't call you a sucker. I called you a sucker!
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm waiting for the half show delayed. Now can you dig that? Come back a half show later. Sucker!
I'm still waiting for him to yell out of nowhere, "Batista is down," but that's not going to happen, I guess.
No, I'm afraid you're not going to get that.
Then JBL yell, shut up.
No such luck there.
We've got a wait a minute. All these changes of GMs, how do we still have this one?
What's Hornswoggle doing here?
No. Ours is not Hornswoggle. According to a few shows ago. Oh. Let's see. And I quote, if you're going to talk about former GMs, you'd forgotten to mention Big Johnny, who is not even tied into talent operations anymore and will be working as a producer. And for the record, that's not storyline. Mm. It's believed that's partially because of the evil doc. Some of it is supposedly burnout. You may also joke the fact that since there's a severe lack of divas on television, his role had been severely reduced in their recruiting. Mm. Old joke is old, GM.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's all right. Well, I guess it's just shortened his whole intro now. My name is John Laurinaitis, and I'm a producer.
I'm a producer. Like, I make people important. I'm Big Johnny.
Oh, so let's see. Getting Laurinaitis out of his position is probably all part of the Evil Doc's plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's not news. It sounds like I'm gonna have to get some more news put together. So, guys, let's take a short break here. The restrooms are open. Snacks, if you got them.
Hey.
Oh. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
I do have some interesting news with Randy Orton when we do come back, actually.
Ooh, I think we'll start with that once we get back from the break.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW83 Network.
If you're not tuned in to CLW83.com, you're missing out on all of this.
Oh, what a catch some guy made for the Angels just now off of this. Number 27, oh, I don't know.
Trout!
Yes, Mike Trout.
How
just
dare you!
Sorry.
Cash truck.
And yes.
Yes, indeed.
The password is splooge.
My brain was broken after seeing the images of Hulk Hogan's sex tape.
Do not want. Nikki! Nikki!
Brain bleach!
I started this endeavor joining Carl with a podcast in the hope we could bring some enlightening radio to the masses. And then ponies happened.
No, and then you actually started doing it.
CLW83.com. Log on and tune in. When Jason Block says it.
And I'm going to predict this right now. The Peyton Manning signing is a bust. Peyton Manning is a lot more hurt that they are letting on, and I think he's going to be out for most of this season somehow. I mean, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Tiger Woods before he, you know, went out for knee surgery for a year. You know, because he's like, oh, I'm fine. No, I'm not.
Take it to the pay winder. The BS Big Show on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
You know you're looking at a winner.
Williamsware is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamsware.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamsware.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now. How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Argiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Hello, this is the game show man, Joe Van Ginkle, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Joe Van Ginkle, get out of my f***ing head!
We're back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. I'm here with Jim Williams, Trista Timpson, and Shane Beeman. Now, Shane, just before the break, you mentioned you had Randy Orton news. I was hoping that if you're going to be talking about a Randy Orton push, it's straight out of door.
Oh, I'm sorry to disappoint you then, but no, unfortunately it isn't. Although, hey, it could possibly be in his new film. Yes, that's right. Randy Orton has actually been given the rights to do a movie with WWE. And what movie is this, you say? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Randy Orton shall be starring in 12 Rounds Reloaded, in which he will be playing a charming paramedic with the same boring-ass storyline that was in the original 12 Rounds, in which a psycho killer kidnaps his wife. Not his actual wife, calm down, guys. Although, wait, his actual wife isn't his actual wife. Oh, shit, I'm getting confused. But anyways, yes, and does the whole 12 rounds thing. But this just goes to prove what we've all, which all four of us here already knew, was that Randy Orton is not going to be de-pushed at all.
It's a sad thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm not trying to, who am I kidding? I'm biased. The one thing I will make the comment on, though, that they're miscasting him. He shouldn't be the paramedic. He should be the psycho.
indeed. But it would be at least interesting for WWE to at least, I don't know if they've done it yet. Someone can correct me on it if they have. But it would be interesting for them to do at least one WWE film with more than one WWE star. That would make it a WWE film.
Mm-hmm.
The sad thing is, when, if they ever did it, they would do an updated version of Big Apple Takedown.
a film I'm more commonly known with. Well, let's get ready to rumble.
Oh yes.
Personally,
I think they should
do that one. I really think they should do a remake of that. I would watch it. I spent real money on Ready to Rumble. I admit it.
Ooh.
Because I know there are longtime wrestling fans who spent real money on the one that they've been promoting all this the last couple of weeks.
No Holds Barred.
Thank you.
I when I little 5 year old Jimmy Jim, little Jimmy, when I was little Jimmy, me and my dad went to see that, and I actually won the raffle for a poster, and I had it in my room for years, the No Holds Barred poster.
Thus. So.
Again, I was 5, so give me the benefit of the doubt, okay?
I am. I'm not picking on you about it. I'm going to pick on Randy Orton for the fact that he's a paramedic. I would just be worried that any lives, anybody he tried to save, we'd lose because of infected wounds.
Well, yes, but with all fairness to Randy Orton, I don't think he really had a choice with this due to the fact that this is actually part of WWE's studio's three-picture agreement that they've done with 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment. So everyone calm down. It might not come in the cinemas. It might just go straight to DVD. So relax.
Yay.
If he's buy it, he's buy it.
If you don't, but, nobody will notice the difference.
Exactly. But this is just the second picture with that agreement. And obviously, you could have gone, if you're going to do like Reloaded, you could have, you had three actors, okay, you could have picked from. You had Randy Orton, John Cena, or Ted DiBiase. Take your pick, ladies and gentlemen. Would you like to say John Cena in 12 Rounds Reloaded, the sequel?
I never saw the original.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
Oops. Pardon me just a second, gentlemen. I'll be right back.
No problem. So there's that. It just... By the way, it also follows a cardinal sin with sequels of movies. Anytime they have a version of the word loaded in them, they're doomed to fail. Kirby Fully Loaded. Anything else?
It should be like 12 rounds fully loaded to Mars.
I'll take it to Abu Dhabi with Nurmal.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Actually, you want to know something that's pretty funny with that?
Sure.
Notice that with both movies, mm-hmm. like Herbie Fully Loaded and 12 Rounds Reloaded, their major stars are both drug addicts.
That's right. Yes, I didn't think of that. Give that man a big W shopping spree. Oh wow. If you knew what Big W was, Nikki, you would not give him the win cue. Trust me.
Oh.
No, it's Walmart, for God's sakes.
It's not one of our most major shopping stores over here, yes.
Yes.
All right. let's see. Speaking of big stars, we've heard a little bit of bad news regarding who hasn't been around, but for about half the year. Chris Jericho has made it clear that he will be leaving when the album drops. He'll be back. He promises he'll be back, but he's got to go promote his new album, Sin and Bones.
Exactly, but okay, I find it very funny that. I think back to that John Morrison rap video. I actually watched that again today. It was pretty funny. of him talking about The Undertaker retiring and coming back more often than Ric Flair does. But the funny thing is, Jericho's done that more times than The Undertaker's done. It's like, oh, I've got to go back and be with Fozzy now. I'll be back in another 2 months. All right. And you wonder why you don't get pushed anymore.
I'm not complaining because at least he's coming back.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Again.
Sorry. Yes.
I must say it correctly. Let's see. Yes. Second quarter news in for WWE.
And it's pretty decent news, really.
Yeah, actually it is. They got the final numbers for second quarter pay-per-view for pay-per-view buys.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 28 comes in at 1.2 million buys, and that is up from last year. Extreme Rules at 263,000 buys, which was up from last year. Over the Limit was actually up from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And No Way Out scored slightly better than its placeholder from last year, Capital Punishment. So that's definitely a good start for them. Vince McMahon has said he is very pleased with the writing. He likes the direction that things are going in. He did not, as far as I know, he did not comment on AW or Tensai.
Mm-hmm.
Or the commentary, for that matter. Because if he liked the writing, he can't be enjoying the commentary. Well, never mind.
Well, he keeps it on mute when he's... Well, maybe not.
I don't know. They do have some very positive numbers. The one thing that they were worried about was attendance at SmackDowns, which has come down a little bit. Some of that could be the economy. Some of this could be also the slight rise in ticket prices. And some would say a lack of star power, with two of SmackDown's semi-regulars, with Randy Orton out on his wellness vacation. The fact that he called it a vacation pissed me off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, but come on. What do you expect, Nikki? I mean, everybody in WWE thinks the fans are stupid.
Oh, I know. I just
hence
think
all
that...
the recaps.
That
exactly.
Georgia Tech Fan Theater. Bum.
If I may. Don't give them ideas!
Yep.
So, where was I? The fact that Orton's been gone for a bit. Mysterio, who was usually used on SmackDown. Sin Cara, who has been on and off. They do have him booked for next week's SmackDown against Cody Rhodes, so maybe, you know, we'll see. We have a sad story actually coming around about wrestler charities.
Yes.
I think I know which charity you're talking about.
Well, there's two of them. Wrestler Rescue, which is run by Dawn Marie, which was already seen as pretty shady.
Yeah, going back to near where it was, I was trying to do research on this for reasons I won't specify yet on the airwaves. Going back to 2010, there were alleged allegations that there were misappropriations of funds for her to go oot in a boot to various autograph signings across the country. Those were the allegations, at least.
And give me a second, because I've got to get the name of the other charity.
Mm-hmm. But do you want me to follow up on the one story involving Wrestler's Rescue while you set that up?
Yes, please.
Well, it involves James Harris, better known to you and I as Kamala, the Ugandan giant, and he literally has no legs at this point in time. He's in a wheelchair, confined to one. Apparently, Wrestler's Rescue had set up some sort of... I don't want to say they were soliciting, but they were asking for people to donate to a fund to help with various medical expenses. There's a back and forth, and apparently Kamala wasn't keen on it or something. There was some sort of... something wasn't mutually agreed upon, I guess. I'm not sure. It's very crazy because I think neither side is telling the full truth. Kamala came out on a video pretty much bashing Wrestler's Rescue. He claimed that he didn't get a check, but Dawn Marie's manager on Twitter, and you can check WrestleChat.net for this on the website, go down a couple of pages. Her manager, Michelle Mupo, I believe her name is, actually posted photographic evidence complete with Harris's address, which I'm not exactly keen on, by the way, of the check being mailed in the amount of $500, postmarked, I think it was July 21st or 22nd, to Harris, that a stop payment was put on it by him because he did not want the money. And now at this point, Kamala is taking and set up a PayPal account for people to donate to him. So something ain't right here on at least one front, maybe both.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a real cluster.
Yeah, and there's a couple of other people have chimed in on this, including Blue Meanie, who a few people are scratching their heads. I've seen,
he's going back and forth on it too. So yeah.
So. Apparently, that particular money order, didn't that bounce through the Cauliflower Alley Club before it went to Kamala?
I want to say, I don't know if it was Cauliflower Alley, but it was one of those type of organizations. Yes, I think so. It's a mess.
It's a huge mess, and I do feel bad for Kamala, and I think at this point, he seems to be frustrated enough with Wrestler's Rescue that he's kind of taken matters into his own hands and established his own set up his own PayPal account.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you think this is all shady or not, the least you could, if you still feel that a donation is in order, at least you would have the opportunity to send it directly to him if you don't feel that any of these, that Wrestler Rescue, or, like I said, I'm still having trouble finding the other group.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to talk about, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, keep going.
I was going to say, if you wanted me to segue, speaking of WrestleChat and things involving Brett and former wrestlers, if you wanted me to segue to the other former wrestler in the news, who we talked about on last week's show, with Brett, matter of fact, I could, if you want.
Actually, Shane, Trista, do you mind?
No.
No, I wasn't here last week, so go ahead.
Okay.
Let me at least lead you in, Jim.
Sure.
Last week we had there was a big Twitter altercation, or so we thought, with Roddy Piper and a writer named Ryan Clark from another website. Brett Clendaniel, who runs WrestleChat, was trying to get Piper steered in the right direction to at least show him about this completely fraudulent story of Piper sexually harassing Caitlyn at Raw 1000.
Mm-hmm.
When the dust settled, it sounded, we had an interview with Brett on last week's show, and he was, he's very upset about it. Part of it was because at one point it sounded like it was a complete and utter work.
Mm-hmm.
That Piper and Ryan were in on it.
And it seemed that way to a certain extent, yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be the case, Jim.
Not so much now. And I'm going to read pretty much verbatim from the WrestleChat.net Twitter account, because I didn't have a chance to listen to this. But Piper has his own podcast, and I'll give them a plug. It's at ToadHopNetwork.com. ToadHopNetwork.com. And here is Brett reacting to, or the WrestleChat account. It may not necessarily be Brett, but I think it is. To the thing. And this is all from August 2nd. Wow, Piper is going off on Ryan Clark, yelled fuck you multiple times at him, trashed him for the news getting to his little girl. I've never seen Piper this mad. It's obvious that Ryan Clark pissed off the wrong guy. He's been going off, without saying his name, for 20 minutes. Piper says he won't say Ryan Clark's name on the air so it doesn't affect his family like Clark did to Piper's. Piper tells Clark to hug his children extra tight tonight. Says he'd never lie about him like Clark lied about him. They then go to a break as Piper says he needs time to cool down. That was surreal to see Piper like that. Looks like Clark tried to get all friendly with Piper all week, and Piper let him feel that high just to bring him back down to reality big time. And again, he plugs it at ToadHopNetwork.com. So that's what happens when shit starts getting real, ladies and gentlemen. For lack of better terms.
And for, just for the record, once again, it's guys like Ryan Clark that give sites like WrestleChat a bad name. We can't, you don't go out there and make shit up, because wrestlers find out about it and they will find you.
Oh, yes.
They will find you. As somebody who's been on both sides of the guardrail, you don't talk shit about wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's something you cannot do.
Just don't talk shit in general, people.
Can't we all just get along?
20 years ago that didn't work. It won't work now.
You're right about that. Trista, I can't wait to hear this rant personally, because when Piper goes off, he's just a force of nature.
It's something when he goes off.
He's just an absolute force of nature. And I was not terribly pleased with the way this was all looking. But Piper, I appreciate your tweets of reassurance when I did make a comment about it. He pretty much told me to stay tuned, since I was being nice about this. To stay tuned, and he said you'll like what happens. And from the piecemeal I'm getting back, yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. Where he essentially takes a shovel and he doesn't just bury Clark. He just he buries him and beats him over the head with the shovel.
Yeah.
That's going to be music to my ears.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't he got, not Piper, but Ryan Clark, hasn't he gotten in trouble for doing shit like this before?
It's been alleged in the past that he's made, well, Fred has cited that he's made stuff up plenty of times before, but he hasn't been outed in such a way. Okay. So, yeah. Very, very interesting stuff. Very interesting indeed.
Let's see. There is some Undertaker news out there.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
A broadcast journalist.
No, that's my line.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
As we reported last week, Undertaker has decided that he wants more demon spawn in the world, so that is why Michelle McCool is pregnant. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Undertaker will have a baby boy before trips. Okay, all right.
No, no, he already has a son, actually.
He has a baby.
Oh, well, another one.
But he made some hints at an autograph signing recently. Yes, he actually did an autograph session at FCW. Mm. And essentially hinted that he might not be at WrestleMania 29. Now, while he's usually a big attraction, Shane, would this be a good decision?
It depends on what sort of, which angle you're looking at. Personally, definitely it would be a great decision for Taker to not do WrestleMania 29. I mean, I was about to say his real name then, but Taker has done so much for this company. I mean, he's been with them for 2 decades. He's like, and 20 and 0 I think is enough. Like, it's a perfectly fine number and everything else. And with a new baby on the way, he's definitely going to be a very busy man, considering the fact that, from what I've heard from FCW, Michelle McCool looks like she's about to drop any day now. But as far as business goes, I'm not too sure, because mainly people tune into WrestleMania to see two things. The main event, which normally has the Royal Rumble winner in it, and of course Taker's streak. Will it end this year? And I just feel that if Taker was to not appear at WrestleMania, that might hurt the WrestleMania buyers a bit. But then again, it would probably force Vince McMahon to pick up his game a little bit and put some more entertaining matches on the card.
Now we're getting somewhere. Trista, you made an interesting point about Taker calling it here.
Yes. 20 is a good number. 21 and 0, 22, 23, 24 and 0 just sounds weird. So I feel like if he's going to do 21 and 0, then he'll have to keep going to 25 and 0, because 25 is also a nice, somewhat even, I know it's not technically an even number, but it's a good rounded number. You know what? The dude's not young. He can't go like, I'm saying he can't go like he used to, because I don't think he can. Obviously, it's an opinion. But he's not helping anyone, you know? Like, he's not coming over to help younger guys establish themselves. All he can do is wrestle against established wrestlers. And I don't think any of them would want to break the streak. I don't think the streak should be broken. So I think it's just time for him to hang it up and spend some time with that new baby.
To that, I'm gonna agree. He has nothing left to prove. The last few WrestleManias, yeah, he's been wrestling established stars. Every couple of years, there's talk about somebody breaking the streak, and something happens and something changes that it turns out that they're, you know, no, we're not going to break the streak. And this is just a really nice spot to stop. There's a reason they called WrestleMania 28's match the end of an era. This is just that was the perfect time for Taker to go riding off into the sunset. While I would be disappointed if I got to go to Mania, you know, if I got to go to 29 and he wasn't there, I'd be a little disappointed, but to Shane's point, maybe then, you know, Vince will actually write.
Yeah, well, that is it. Taker has done, like I said, Taker's done so much for this business. I mean, he's helped build so many great stars, and he's been pretty much the heart and soul of WWE. So I don't know. Like, I'm not going to predict anything for the future, but I'm just going to say this. This will be the perfect way for Taker to go out. Don't do WrestleMania 29 this year, because I have a funny feeling that he'll probably get put into the Hall of Fame this year.
I don't think so.
If not, I know what Jim's thinking. Jim's thinking probably next year, because I think they're doing it in Dallas or something, aren't they? In Texas?
Well, not just for that. I think he has one more WrestleMania match, not 29, but 30. I think they build 30 up even bigger. And that would be his final match, win, lose, or what have you. Of course, I'm going to be the cynic. The streak always has a little bit of an asterisk. I'm sorry, the Giant Gonzalez match was a joke. I'm sorry, it was.
Well, and people are going to throw asterisks on some of his matches anyway. Right. The tag match that he was supposed to have with against Nathan Jones and Albert, I think it was.
Oh, come on, don't do the whole WWE thing.
I know.
Against Big Show and Tensai, yes, we remember.
All right. Well, I think it would only make sense for him to have his final WrestleMania match at 30. You know, give him Blackjack, give him 21, and then that's the way it ends. I mean, in front of the largest crowd to ever watch wrestling. Over 100, I think it would be more like 110,000 people, considering how they're going to fill the stadium and the floor of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
It would just make sense to me if he's healthy enough, train for a year and a half, or will obviously take time off for the new baby, but then come like gangbusters for 30.
Well, I'm going to try and pretend to be a WWE writer here, although I could probably do a better job than half of them.
Yeah, good.
Oh, I'm sorry. I went there. What I'd do is like don't have Taker WrestleMania 29. In fact, I'd do a very nice surprise thing of have Taker come back as one of the general managers, and then that would set up for WrestleMania 30. So if someone say, "Oh, well, you can't do it anymore," obviously, hence the reason why you're doing this job, and that would set up for his Hall of Fame and the last match of his career. But that's just me personally.
I was mentioning like the attendance potentially at WrestleMania 30. That segues into something else, if I could, Nikki.
Please.
Attendance figures for the month of June at the domestic live events came out. Now, let's play the higher lower game here. Anybody want to give out a figure how many people went to the average domestic live event in the month of June, Nikki?
You might want to disqualify me because I think I've seen this report.
All right, well, I'll...
I haven't seen it.
All right,
seven.
Trista, what?
Seven. $1.
Give that lady a cookie.
Cookie,
yeah. No, it's kind of staggeringly low. 4,501. Now, I understand they don't always go to the big arenas for the live event shows. I understand that, but... That number's down 22% from June of last year, when they had close to 6,000 on average for live shows. And WrestleChat citing this, You could blame the economy, but Major League Baseball's attendance is up. Major League Soccer's attendance is up year to year. So is, of all things, the WNBA. The women's...
That's national. Still around?
Yeah, I know.
Actually, the Minnesota Lynx gets a lot of newspaper coverage up here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on the market, absolutely. No, but what we're getting, and we were talking about this before the show, Nikki, you had heard that WWE might be potentially trying to raise ticket prices down the road?
Right. There's talk of raising ticket prices. They're already doing this platinum seating deal with Ticket Crapper. I'm sorry. It's Ticket Crapper. Okay. If they were Ticket Master, it wouldn't cost me an extra $10 for them to print out a piece of cardboard to waste a 45-cent stamp to send it to me.
Right.
Where they're charging 2 to 3 times the standard face value for front row camera side seats. Mm. Actually, for the first couple of rows. They do this for house shows. Where it doesn't matter because there's no camera around.
TV, you can kind of understand it, but not for house shows, yeah.
Not for the house shows, and certainly not for pay-per-views because they're already knocking somebody. This is a non-Big Four for $200 to $300 for the chair seats.
Mm.
And that's the first four or five rows all the way around the ring.
Mm.
So I just, you know... I find it frustrating because that was one of the big things that I could tell people. Wrestling was a lot cheaper to attend than basketball or football. Baseball, I'm not so sure. It depends on the market.
Mm-hmm.
WNBA, I've never priced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But cheaper than most concerts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A non-televised event, depending on the market, you could get in the door and sit relatively close for under $50.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fairly good-sized arenas for TV, if you want to be on the floor, it starts at $50.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And, you could spring $20, but you're going to better bring binoculars.
Yeah. Because you'll be up in the nosebleed in the back row on the upper deck.
Yeah, with your back up against the wall, mm-hmm. Typho.
Nosebleeds.
Seriously, I've already done that. I've sadly had to do that once in Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
where like I said, I was sitting higher than the lighting rig.
Yeah, that's never good.
So the problem is when you raise prices, you're going to lower attendance. To be honest, I dare Vince to lower his prices.
Mm-hmm.
I seriously dare him because I know that they're making crazy bank on the merchandise.
Merch sells.
Between Punk, Cena, and Bryan alone. And maybe even, Ziggler a distant fourth because I'm starting to see the showing off shirt more.
Yes.
I have to throw Mysterio in there too.
Now that he's
they've got the new Rey Mysterio t-shirt out now.
Kids love Mysterio. Because they're the same height as him.
Well,
and he looks as young as them with the mask off, so...
Yeah, he still looks 12 years old.
Andale.
Shame on you, sir.
Oh, that's right. What did you say about ethnic slurs before the show? I'm sorry. Hey, if AW can do it,
no, AW may break jokes, not ethnic jokes.
I'm kidding.
How can you? So insensitive.
Who asked you, you posh little wannabe? I'm talking to a soundbite of a pony. What is wrong with me?
Brian's hit you one too many times.
Ponies. I'm not gonna lose it tonight. I'm not gonna lose it. No.
There was something interesting actually that I. Oh, what was that?
Go ahead, Shane.
You can play that sound again because I actually wanted to hear it.
All right. You're not going to lose it, Jim?
I'm not going to lose it. Because I'm going to laugh at her wings getting clipped off. Continue.
we're here talking about with ticket prices going up and everything else. I actually have a question for you guys. Would you guys pay your hard-earned money to go watch TNA do a pay-per-view over in the United Kingdom?
Yeah, I see where you're going with this, because AJ Styles is really vouching and trying to, you know, let it be known that he wants to see that happen over there.
I
was going to say, wrestling shows overseas do crazy bank regardless, so I think it's a good idea. I just don't know if TNA can fully pull it off, since they have problems packing to travel to other states.
The thing,
you will never live down lockdown 2007. ever.
Again.
Forgetting your damn cage to an all-cage pay-per-view. Really?
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 Riley.
Riley?
Jimmy.
Thank you. Hi, how you doing? No, but...
That's the part where we annoy Jim and go, pony!
No, not from another continent. Come on. No. Anyway, no, but honestly, I think they could sell out a 5,000 or 7,000 seat arena in England. It's going to cost a lot more, obviously, than having to do it at a, I don't know how many seats the Impact Zone has. What, 1,000 maybe?
If that, and the floor is standing room only, by the way.
Well, there you go. But considering that, and you got to give TNA credit, they really make a push with the UK. They're big, they're cross-promoting everything on Challenge and what have you. That Blockbusters promo with Hulk Hogan asking for a pee from Simon was creepy. But, they make a concerted effort to get their product out in the UK, and you got to give them credit for that. I think they should reward the fans with a pay-per-view there. I'm all for it, Shane, to answer your question. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, I don't have a problem that they go and do that over in, like, go over to the UK, and that's fine. I'm perfectly fine with that. My problem is that you're going to go do a pay-per-view over there when... You have a, like, as Nikki said, you have a hard enough time struggling to do your stuff over here.
True. But the sad reality is they can pack more people in a UK arena than they could in an American arena. That's the sad
reality.
I don't actually think that would be true due to the fact that they've pretty much, and it's very sad for me to say, but they've buried most of their British talent.
True.
They've got no one on that TNA roster that they can really plug for the shows, which is what all of us here know. When WWE goes overseas, they promote one of their guys like Kofi Kingston or William Regal and stuff like that. But
sure,
TNA
I'll give you
doesn't
that.
Really have anyone.
True. I'll grant you that, yeah.
Although WWE's still not 100% good at that, and I'm just going to cite a recent example. Yoshitatsu had posted a story on WWE Japan where he talked about some things that he really wasn't happy about regarding his time with the Fed. When the earthquake hit Japan, he wanted to go over there and do promotional work or charity work or something, and WWE didn't touch it, and they told him he wasn't allowed to go. And normally, you know, WWE reaches out when it comes to, you know, it reaches out to in some respect when it comes to, you know, big disasters and traumatic events. Maybe it just wasn't patriotic enough for Vince. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would find that a bit of a slap in the face, considering the fact that they let like guys like the great Khali go back to India and stuff like that to do their own thing, but when a natural disaster happens in someone's home country, yeah, let them go over and help out and promote. That would be a bit of a slap in the face.
So, yeah, and that's, you know, something that Tatsu was complaining about in his blog. Interesting that you bring up Kali. I think we talked about this on last week's show, where he had finally had the surgery to remove the tumor on his pituitary that was causing his acromegaly. I don't remember if I talked about it on the show last week, but he, like the Big Show, had the same thing that caused their gigantism. Big Show had his removed, I think, in his 20s, though most of the damage had already been done, as it were. Kali either did not have the money, or once he got, you know, once he did get the money between his acting and his wrestling, either didn't have the time or they couldn't find a proper doctor or whatever, you know, whatever. There was actually rumors going around that he should actually take legal action against WWE for supposedly delaying the surgery. And I read this and I was like, okay, wait a minute. First of all, it was not something life threatening. As far as I know, that doesn't fall under the wellness policy. And in the case of Kali, who's older, at that point, I think surgery for something like that would have been strictly voluntary.
Yeah, and I really don't think, like, Vince and Linda McMahon need any more bad publicity. I mean, I've just recently read about the fact that I mean, anyone can correct me if I'm wrong, but they've recently just lost $500 million in the stocks. It's like, ooh, that is rough.
Is that just straight up WWE stock, or was this from that nasty? There was the glitch on Wall Street the other day.
Yeah, that was. I think that's what he's referring to.
I'm just double checking it. But when I saw it, I was like, wow, that is a lot of money to lose.
Yeah, that was somebody I think that was a cumulative Wall Street thing. But yeah,
was that tied in with the Wall Street glitch?
Still looking for it. Like, you'd be surprised how much stuff everyone's got around here.
Mm-hmm.
General manager, we need that. Here we go. Vince and Linda reportedly lose. Due to heavy stock drop, the Greenwich Time reported today that Vince and Linda McMahon are down $500 million due to the drop of the company's stock price. The stock price was at $18.64 a share in 2010. At the current, it is now $7.86 a share.
Oh, damn.
Oh, my goodness.
That I was unaware, and I'm surprised. Go ahead.
And then if you add that with the value of their 46 million shares, has dropped to over $360 million down from their $860 million. Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's not good, although $8 a share isn't a bad buy. I might have to look into that.
I would hold. That's just me.
Yeah.
Or is that because you're still looking for that vaporware that is the WWE network?
Partially, because I think it's going to keep going lower. I think bad publicity doesn't help them, and they keep getting a lot of it as of late. So.
Well, Jim, guess what? They've already pointed the gun at someone, and why am I not surprised? They pointed the gun at Linda McMahon.
Ah, yes. Who is leading critics in the polls somehow in her...
Yes. Critics feel that the McMahons care more about winning a Senate seat than they do about their shareholders.
Yeah. Well, priorities!
Exactly.
Yes.
But, oh well, you cannot stop all reporters.
Indeed.
And you can't please everybody.
Yep. Pony.
Yeah, but that's just amazing. 500 million. That's
you know.
That's a chunk of
change. That's a chunk of change, except to, you know, say, like, Bill Gates. If he lost 500 million, he'd be like, oh, it just fell in my back pocket. It, no biggie.
That $500 million. So that could have gone to building the Viking Stadium.
Well played.
Sorry.
BS Big Show plug there.
Yeah. So, let's see. Do I have any other... Do I have any other news?
Let's see.
Did I get the whole list?
In the interest of people power, I shall check.
Now, I'll pass along some sad news. A female wrestler from the 50s and 60s, a gal named Rita Lee, passed away this past week. She was one of the female wrestlers that was featured in the documentary of women's wrestling called Lipstick and Dynamite. And apparently she was also tied in a wonderful love triangle in the wrestling business between her promoter Buddy Lee and the Fabulous Moolah.
Oh boy.
So have some fun wrapping your brain around that right now. I'll wait.
Brain.
Oh, I had hard enough time wrapping my head around that whole Mae Young in the hand thing. That was...
Oh, it was awesome. Come on.
It was awesome, but it was just... you see Mae Young standing there with a gigantic hand, and it's like, I'm Mae Young's son. Well, where's your daddy?
Oh, one other thing you might want to mention, I don't think we touched on it when we talked about Raw, Nikki, how far the rating dropped.
Ah, yes. Alas, the momentum could not be kept.
Michael Phelps is to blame, I think, in part.
Granted, the Olympics might be a factor. I myself have not tuned into any of the Olympic coverage because NBC, it's my understanding, couldn't cover a runner with a cooling blanket, but that's beside the point.
Dare I say they can shove it up their ugly? Never mind.
Let's see.
I've got the numbers up here.
Ah, thank you.
Yes, the July 30th WWE Raw 1001 did a cable rating of 3.09. That's down from the 3.738 range where it was 1 week ago. I have some breakdowns. The 3 hours came in respectively at 2.79, 3.21, and 3.25. So part of the problem is that first hour. They're still not able to get people to watch the 8 o'clock hour.
People find it a bit too predictive. Like, they know what the first hour entails. Right. They know the first hour is going to have promo work, backstage interviews, and then, like, probably a not very stellar first match. And, yeah. So no one really wants to watch it. It's when the next 2 hours that the show starts to pick up, as we saw with Raw 1000.
Actually, I think I know what the problem is. You can tune into the second and the third hour because you'll get the first hour recapped for you at least twice.
Bingo.
And why should I tune in? They're going to tell me what happened.
Mm-hmm. They even did specific numbers here, some segment breakdowns, including recap. You'll appreciate this. In the third hour... The third recap of Triple H and Brock Lesnar's Raw 1000 segment from the previous segment lost 246,000 more viewers. Are you listening, WWE? Are you listening, you sons of bitches? Recaps don't work!
I'm sorry, I've just got to throw this in there. It would have been brilliant if on 1001, like, and they kept replaying it, Uncle Paul there just come out and goes, "Stop playing me again, slapped, you idiots!"
The show did get a 3.86 overrun thanks to Punk on commentary in the Cena Big Show match. So that's the only positive out of everything. So,
well, given that they the ratings did climb steadily as the show went on is probably the only bit of good news we've got.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, I'm sure it will pick up. I'm sure it will, like, keep picking up now because, of course, AJ being the new general manager, I didn't think she did really badly her first night in, so we'll have to wait and see how it keeps going.
She's having way too much fun torturing her ex-fiancé and one of her ex-boyfriends. I can't blame her.
I'm having fun watching her do that voodoo she do so well.
So I think we've done enough damage to the wrestling world.
Yes.
And for the record, no TNA on the show. Woohoo! Oh wait, we did talk a little bit about it, but
they rock.
Woo-hoo. Oh what? Okay. What more do you want to say about TNA? I'll sum up in quick 2 minutes. Crappy gimmicks. Brooke Hogan fleeing due to Aces and Eights, which is a bunch of former WWE superstars. We all know it. Mm. And yeah,
and they barely got above a one. So
sorry, and a pregnant AJ. There you go. Mm. A pregnant psycho lady going after a superstar. Woohoo!
101 if you're scoring from down from 109 week to week. So.
And that's even when they got their deal, the stupid deal done with Viacom and Direct.
Yeah. Well, I think they just, if they ever truly think they can compete with WWE, they're out of their mind. Be happy with what you've got. You got to focus on placating that 1.0 because we've seen it slip below a 0.9 at times in recent months. So you got to do what you got to do to stay the steady number two.
And they've been, unfortunately, they're starting to do something else very WCW-esque. They're starting to set up guaranteed contracts, but they're lowballing a lot of people.
Now the end is near.
So, I think VRM can sum this up for me. TNA in general. You'll like this, Shane.
How appropriate! The show ended with shit!
Not this one, though.
VRM, I 100% agree.
not of our show, but TNA in general. So, but before we go, we're not going to go out on a negative note. Trista, are you still with us, dear?
I'm right here.
Poke the bear. Poke the bear. Okay.
Don't poke me.
Okay, no poking the bear. I'm sorry.
Do not poke the Trista. Do you have anything to plug, dear?
No, I do not.
Okay. Are you sure, Trista? I mean, you do wonderful scarves.
I'm positive. I don't want to plug it yet.
Okay, no problem. No problem. We'll plug it later.
Okay.
That's what she said.
Hey, I did that joke last time.
I know. Repetitive joke is repetitive. I am ashamed. I am properly ashamed. Jim, plug something.
What, do you want me to plug My Little Pony Friendship is Magic showing up in primetime on the Hub? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to plug Touch 'Em All coming up this week, middle of the week. It'll be up on the website, talking about the trading deadline, who won, who lost, and how my Phillies are just losing piece by piece by piece. Don't want to talk about it.
I just don't know what went wrong.
Derpy, I feel you. I feel you.
My bad.
Okay, all right. That's enough. You're really... Stop it! You're licking, you're pouring salt on the wounds, damn it! You're funny for a flightless Pegasus.
You leave my Dashie alone. Shane, you got something to plug before I punch Jim's lights out?
Oh, yes, I'll just quickly do a quick plug for WWE here. WWEshop.com, ladies and gentlemen, the new Rey Mysterio shirt is in. The mask is back. Buy it now.
Hey.
So and Jim's lights are out.
I got nothing.
Nah,
if not Tristan's.
I'm going to leave the buttons alone because we've done enough damage for one night. So for Shane Beeman, for Trista Timpson, for Jim Williams, my name is Nikki Heyman. You have enjoyed the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Please come back and see us next week.
And until then, stay sane and spike your mane.
Oh. Funny.
Good night.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.